who would find himself regularly going to Home Depot, and he made it his mission to try to help people, maybe help people load their items into their vehicle. Maybe there was a problem with the vehicle, and he would make it his mission to try to help. And he pulls into Home Depot one day, and he noticed a guy that had left his lights on, and the man turned them off and tried to start his van, and He noticed a man with his lights on. He reached into his van, turned off the lights, hoping that it wouldn't drain the battery. And so he runs in, gets his items. He comes out, and he thought, boy, I sure hope when I come out that that guy has his vehicle started. I've had a bad day. I'm on a tight schedule. I really don't want to help that guy today. I just don't have time to help that guy today. And he comes out, and he was so relieved because that vehicle was not there any longer. And he thought, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to help that guy today. He gets into his truck, and he puts the key in the ignition, and he turns it over. Click, click, click. And he looks at his dashboard. Here he forgot to turn his lights off and his battery was dead. And I guess it just tells you that story to remind you that, you know, there are all times when we need help. We're in a series entitled Adversity University, Higher Learning Through Life's Difficulties. The scripture that has been our foundation in this study is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of the Psalms. The book of the Psalms, the Hebrew hymnal, and the song that we'll consider today is Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Now, I'll give you a moment to find it, and it's a short psalm, and I want to read the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 146. The psalm begins with these words, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." Now, would you notice with me verse 5? Because the main point in the thrust of this psalm is found in verse 5. Happy is that man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The theme of this psalm is help and hope. And when you're enrolled in Adversity University, it's the time that you need to turn to the Lord for help and for hope. And this psalm is a great song for people like us who turn to the Lord for help and hope. How many of you would say that, boy, I need the Lord's help? How many of you say that? How many of you would agree, boy, I need the Lord's hope? Then this is a great psalm for you, because in this psalm, God tells us how to find help and hope even in adversity. So we will pray and ask God to do that for us. Lord, you've written this psalm to help people like us find help and find hope. This psalmist wrote this song because he was asking for you to give him help and looking to you for hope. And when we're in adversity, that's what we're doing. We're turning to you, asking for help, and looking to you for hope. So Holy Spirit, as you gave this song to minister to your people then, you have given this song to minister to your people now. And we ask that you would do this work, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do I experience God's help and hope in adversity? Well, I find God's help in adversity by first the overcoming power of praise. The overcoming power of praise, we read about it in Psalm 146, the first two verses, and it begins with these words in chapter 146, or Psalm 146, 1. Praise ye the Lord! This is the command to praise. When you see that expression in your Bible, praise ye the Lord, and when you see the uppercase letters, Lord, this is the word that you would know, though you may not recognize it when you read praise ye the Lord. This is hallelujah. This is a praise to the one true God, Jehovah. And interestingly, the last of these five last psalms in the Psalter are all called double hallelujah psalms, because each of them begins with the word, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, and ends with the word, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. For instance, look at, if you will, we already read verse 1, praise ye the Lord, that's the word hallelujah. Then look at the last word, or the last verse, and the last three, four words in our English language, praise ye the Lord, that's hallelujah. And all these last five psalms are structured that way. Now, the very first time the name of the Lord is used in a song, as it is here, actually took place in Exodus chapter 15. The people of Israel, remember all those years, the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt, and God in His power miraculously brought them from bondage. They were redeemed from slavery. And now, having left Egypt, they were on their way to victory, but all along the way, oh, did they have a problem, some adversity. They come to the Red Sea, and with Pharaoh and his armies pursuing hotly behind them, and they're there between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, they need God's intervening power, and God intervenes, and He holds back by His presence, the Shekinah glory cloud of God, He holds back the people, or the pursuers. He opens the Red Sea for His people to walk through on dry ground. And then when the people have finally passed through, and then the chariots of Pharaoh pursue through the opening, God closes the Red Sea miraculously. And on the other side of the Red Sea, do you know what Moses does? Moses breaks out in song. And we read it beginning in Exodus chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. That's the Lord Jehovah. For He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Coming from the bondage of Egypt into freedom, coming from sure defeat into victory. And God reminds us that this is who God is. He is a God that fights for His people. Can I tell you that the God who brought the people of Israel from bondage into freedom is the God that can bring you from bondage into freedom? Do you need to be saved from the penalty of your sin? God has the power by the blood of Jesus Christ to bring you from bondage to freedom. All right, do you find yourself bound in sin and selfishness? What is it that binds you and you're so bound by it? God has the power to bring freedom for you. This is a picture of redemption and a victory. And the very same song that was first sung with this name of God, Jehovah is His name, now the psalmist opens this psalm with the very same name, the power of God, or the name that describes the power and victory that God gives. And in the midst of the time when he's in adversity and he says, God, I need your help and I need your hope, he begins by exalting God and commands us, praise ye the Lord. Now, what changes from the first hallelujah in the song to the second hallelujah in the song. I want you to notice what the Bible says now in Psalm 146 again. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord. That's the second hallelujah. Oh, my soul. See, the first time it's a command, praise ye, all y'all, we would say, all y'all, praise the Lord. But now it becomes personal. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. So this is not just a command to praise the Lord. This is a choice to praise the Lord. It's a choice that each of us makes in the depths of our soul. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul, in the secret, quiet place. My heart, when I yield to my Lord and my God, and I choose to praise Him. But I'm in adversity. I need help. I need hope. Do I praise Him? Yes, in faith, I praise Him. He is still the God that redeems and the God that brings victory. And even from the depths of my soul, I choose to praise Him. I choose to praise Him in the depths of my soul, and I choose to praise Him independent of my circumstances. So the psalmist says this in verse 2. Look at your Bible again. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. As long as I'm living, whatever happens, things are going great. Oh, I'm going to praise the Lord. Things are going not so great. I'm going to praise the Lord. As long as I live, I'm going to make a choice of praise to the Lord. Hey, question for you while we're here. What's your spirit before the Lord? Do you praise the Lord whatever the circumstances of life? Are you making that choice? You see, people that experience the help and hope of God are people that do not wait until the circumstances are just right to praise the Lord. People that experience God's help and hope express praise to the Lord and choose to thank God and praise Him in the midst of adversity. Through it, He empowers you and carries you through. And with a heart surrendered and consecrated to the Lord God, no wonder He has something else to sing about. With us as we praise the Lord. He reminds us that He praises the Lord in the declaration of His song, Psalm 146. Notice again verse 2, if you will. Not just while I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Something to sing about. Now, people who experience help and hope in life are people who make the choice to express praise and gratitude and glory to God. Well, that's true of their salvation. To realize that I'm without Christ, I'm lost, spiritually dead. No hope ahead but a Christless eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. And yet, to realize that God came down to me. He took upon Him the human form, and Jesus, the Son of God, and He bled and died the sinless sacrifice for me, for you. He rose in power. He can do that for you today. You can say, oh God, I may be in the midst of adversity, but even in the adversities, You've brought me to this place where I can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and you can praise Him. And friend, if you have been saved, do you ever stop praising Him for your salvation? It's true of our salvation. It's true of our sanctification. Means that we're set apart for God's purposes, and as He is changing and transforming me, as He is deploying me and you as we represent him in the world as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, sharing his message, his love, his hope, standing for him even through adversity. It's a choice that each of us make in any circumstance to praise and thank God for whatever he wills, whatever he allows. Told about a party of pioneers who were on the Oregon Trail. They suffered for weeks from a scarcity of water, for grass, for their animals. Most of their wagons had broken down along the way and causing endless delays in the stifling heat. And there was just a sense of fretfulness and despair and even futility that prevailed among the people. No more optimism. There was no more cheer. Courage was in limited supply, I'm told. And one night, the leaders called a meeting to air their complaints. And so they gathered around a campfire, and as the meeting started, one man stood up and said, "Before we commence our grief session, don't you think we should at least first thank God that he has brought us this far with no loss of life, with no serious trouble from the Indians, and that we have enough strength left to finish our journey?" The other settlers agreed, and after a brief prayer, all that could be heard were the cries of a distant pack of wolves. There was otherwise stone silence around the campfire because no one had any grievances they felt were important enough to voice. They realized that if they couldn't be satisfied with what they received, they could at least be thankful for what they'd escaped. And thankfulness enabled the settlers to see the mercies of God that they had been overlooking. And you know, in your life, what you'll find is that if you will choose to be thankful and express praise and gratitude toward God, you will find that his mercies abound. It'll change your perspective of everything in life. It gives overcoming power when you have overcoming praise. Are you thankful for adversity? Going through rough times? Thankful? Do you praise God for allowing adversity in your life, and anticipating what he wants to do and what he is doing in your life? People who experience hope and help are people who find it by the overcoming power of praise. And may I ask you, are you ungrateful, unthankful? And is God dealing with your heart and calling you to repent of your ingratitude and your complaining spirit rather than expressing praise to God? Now, if you want to have that sorry spirit, you go right ahead. And if you want to be defeated by adversity, you go right ahead. But don't you blame God for it. The way to become an overcomer, the way to know his help and hope in adversity, as the psalmist tells us, begins when you begin to praise God. Oh, there's the overcoming power of praise. And then there's something else the psalmist has to tell us about. He tells us about, beside the overcoming power of praise, he tells us about the overcoming power of trust. When you're in the midst of adversity university, he tells us of the power of trust that helps you to overcome in the midst of the difficulties of adversity. We read about it in Psalm 146, verses 3 through 7. And the psalmist begins this portion of the song with a warning about a common mistake that we can all easily make. So God wisely says to us, look out. And in verses 3 and 4, he tells us about the danger of misplaced trust. Look in your Bible, verse 3 of Psalm 146. While I live, oh, that's verse 2, excuse me. Verse 3, oh, there it is. Put not your trust in princes. Now, let me ask you this. In the day in which this psalm was written, who were princes? What would we call those princes today? What would we call those people in that role of a prince today? Yeah, we call them politicians. Put not your trust in politicians. Oh my. How many of you are already tired of the election season? Oh my goodness gracious. Everywhere you go. And I enjoy the politics. I enjoy the philosophy of it. It does matter. It's important. But can I tell you, if you are putting the confidence in your life in a politician, my friend, you are making a misguided choice. Now, it's good to have politicians who represent God's values. Very grateful we have representing us in this area. We have some very good people, I think, who truly care about things that matter and that are aligned with our values, because our values are based on God's values, and that legislate, I think, in a general way that way. And in Tennessee, we have that. Even our local representation in Georgia, we generally have that as well in our area. And I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. There were some things that were put in the Tennessee legislature, put before the Tennessee legislature this last legislative session, that are far, way out against God's truth. And I'm so grateful that most of our local people, except maybe for one, maybe two on one or two matters, stood on the right side, the moral right side of it, on God's side. And if you're going to stand on any side, it's good to stand on God's side on any matter, right? So I don't want to be ungrateful. God has given us as Americans an unusual opportunity, really, in the history of the world, that we have the ability through our elected process to vote and then to influence our politicians, our representatives, for on our opinion of a matter. And it's wonderful that we have the opportunity to do so. So I'm grateful for it, and I don't want to in any way minimize it, because good leadership does make a difference. But may I say this, may I say that none of us should be so naive as to place all of our trust in politics. You're going to be very disappointed. The story is told about President George Bush, who died and he went to heaven. And when he entered heaven, St. Peter met him and asked if he had any requests. He said, well, yes, I do. I've studied the leadership of Moses, and I would like to talk with Moses. So St. Peter goes and finds Moses, and he told President Bush that, told him that President Bush wanted to talk with him. And Moses said, no way. The last time I talked to a Bush, I got 40 years. That's one to think about, right? And while we're grateful, don't put our trust in politicians. And now, how many of you are grateful for people that God has used in your life? How many are grateful? People God used in your life? Boy, I hope so. I hope God. There are people that God wants to put in your life that will greatly bless you, to help you. And we all can say, just be aware, there are people that God's placed in our life. They've blessed us. They've enriched our lives. It's one of the great blessings of my life, is so many great people that God has placed in my life. But even with such a blessing, there's a warning in this passage of the danger of putting our trust in politics, but also putting our trust in people. Look in your Bible, if you will, Psalm 146, verse 3. We read, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, breathes his last breath, he returneth to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. While people can bless your life, realize that people are very best people. We all live a life and then we go to the next. So we enjoy people, but know that ultimately our trust must be beyond people, but our trust must be in the Lord. Because people are at best people, but only the Lord is the unchanging God. So God says, look out for the danger of misplaced trust. And then in the psalm, in a clear contrast to the warning to look out for the danger of misplaced trust, God gives us a direction on where to look in verses 5 to 7. And here's the direction: look up. And in these verses, he tells us about the delight of wisely placed trust. Now, where do you look when you're in times of adversity? Your own wisdom. You look for what you can do. Or do you look to the Lord? And in this passage of Scripture, God tells us a promise in verse 5 of Psalm 146. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. It's a promise that God makes about himself, that he is the God who is our help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. I love when God describes himself as the God of Jacob. It's probably one of my favorite ways that God describes himself. Because when God describes himself as the God of Jacob, it tells us about the story of Jacob and what God did in his life. Oh, Jacob, you can read about this in his life, but how he was a deceiver. Oh, he was a manipulator. He did so with his father. He did so with his brother Esau. He did so with his father-in-law Laban. He was a manipulator, deceiver. And you'd think that God would have given up on him, but no, God hadn't given up on him. In fact, he was going to Genesis 32 to meet his brother Esau, from whom he had been estranged for decades because of the way they left each other. And when he came back and he was going to meet Esau, he didn't know what would happen. He didn't know if it would turn into a war, a big fight between them and their large families and their large servants and estates. But on that night, he met with God in a place called Peniel, and he wrestled with God. And God finally submitted to God. He became a changed man. His name was Jacob. It was changed to what name? Israel. And he could say, as said in this passage, the God of Israel. Israel means a prince of God. But God chose to use this expression, the God of Jacob. Because he's a God who breaks us and transforms us and brings us to points of brokenness so that we may know him. And he helps us in spite of ourselves, not in our own strength and our own sufficiency, but in our dependence. And as he took Jacob, who in his own strength was a mess, and transformed him to something he could not become until he was broken and dependent upon God, he uses this expression to help all of us to remember that we desperately need God. He is the God who can help us when we're broken and Make us what we would never be apart from him. He is the God who is our help. He is the God who is our hope. We read again in verse 5 of this beautiful psalm, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Remember the name Lord, that's that covenant name, the uppercase name of God, Jehovah. This is his personal covenant-keeping name. But then it's the Lord, his God. The word God is the term that describes God and his creation power. The God that took nothing and made something. The God that spoke the world into existence. In 6 days, made it all. A fully functioning universe. Beyond our scope of comprehension, such is his power. And God reminds us in this passage that God is the God who is the creative God, who has the power to create out of nothing and to do what you and I could seem impossible. He is the God that keeps every promise. And this is the God who is our hope. How many of you have found that in adversity you have times when you just give up complete hope? Man, I don't think I could tell you how many times I've given up hope. Frankly, I went through a period of time this week, I almost gave up. I felt like there's no hope except for God help me. May need to preach to myself today. Well, actually, hopefully every time I preach to myself. If God isn't touching me, how could I expect God to touch you? Right? And so God reminds us, even in our adversity, that he is the God who can take my hopeless situation and my helpless situation, and from my hopelessness and my helplessness, he brings help and he brings hope. Now, how many of you know that's a God to know? How many of you know that's the God I need and you need? Better believe it. Well, you say, but what if I do? What if I put my trust in the Lord God? And if I do, what if God doesn't take care of me? What if I put my trust in the Lord and he lets me down? What if I go all in and I put my confidence in the Lord and I find out that he can't be trusted because he doesn't do what he said he's going to do. And I'm going to encourage you that he can be trusted because not just the promise that he makes, but because of the proof. And in this passage of Scripture, God gives proof of wisely placed trust. In fact, there are four statements that prove that he is worthy of trust. Each begins with our English word, which. That it gives you the four proofs that you can trust God. You know that God can be my help and my hope because of his creative power. Look in your Bible, verse 6. The God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is, that therein is. Hey, wait a minute. How many of you know that you need strength and power that's beyond your capacity? And God says, look at the creation. This is my creative power. I can give you power beyond your capacity. And how many of you know we need power beyond our capacity? Overcomers realize that they're at the end of themselves. You find God's help and hope. You need to come to the end. Believe that he has creation power and take him at his word. You say, you mean you actually believe that? You actually believe that God created everything that there is? Absolutely, I believe it. Without a doubt. And that God of such great power, infinite in his power, has enabling power for you as you go through adversity and for me as I go through adversity. Beside his creative power, we're told about his covenant promises. He proves that you can trust him. Look in your Bible, which keepeth truth forever. The end of verse 6. This God has chosen to reveal himself in the pages of this wonderful book we call the Bible, the book that will never pass away, the book that is forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, Matthew 24:35, but my word shall not pass away. This very book is available to you. These promises are true, and you can claim them for yourself. Oh, we can know that he'll give us his help and his hope because of his controlling providence. Look in your Bible again, verse 7, the next expression, which executeth judgment for the oppressed. And in the end, he is the God who makes things right. Even when in life it seems that it's not always so, in the end, he always makes things right. And oh, you can know, you can trust him because of his kind provision, which giveth food to the hungry. The kindness of his provision. You see, every provision that you and I enjoy is from him. And when I truly have a need, my God meets that need. Do you have misplaced trust or wisely placed trust? The story is told of a father and son who were hiking along a steep mountain trail. At the beginning of the climb, the way was very easy, and so they walked along, and they're throwing rocks into the trees and just enjoying the time talking to each other. And then the path became more steep. The hiking became more difficult. And finally, they reached a very narrow passage. On that narrow passage, it was beside a canyon, and it'd be possible to fall off the narrow place into the canyon. And the father said, "Son, you'd better hold my hand." And looking up at his father, the son replied, "No, Daddy, you hold my hand. You're bigger than I am." I wonder if your God, if you see your God as bigger than you are. And he's bringing you at times into adversity. Maybe you're in a time of adversity now. It may be. It will be that there will come a time of adversity in your life. And when those times come, this is the time for you to say, "God, you're bigger than I am. I'm going to hold on to your hand, but would you hold on to my hand?" Now, this psalm has much more to say, and we'll address that the next time we open this psalm together. But for now, God is calling you. He's calling out to you, and he says, "Would you hold on to my hand? I'm reaching out to hold on to you. Will you hold on to me?" What's the need that you have in your life? Do you know the saving power of Jesus Christ? If you don't, see, he's drawing you. He's dealing with you. All through the service, he's been speaking to you as we have sung together, as we've prayed, what in the preaching of the word, God is drawing you to himself. That's your need. He's reaching out for you to claim Christ by faith, be saved from the judgment to come, rescued. I wonder if you say, "Oh, I need to hold on to the hand of God." He's reaching out. His hand is strong. Will you come to him? Put your trust in him. Overcoming praise, overcoming trust. And God can take you through adversity, university, and make you in the midst of it an overcomer. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment. Before I have you stand and we have an opportunity to have an invitation song and give you a chance to respond, with someone that can help you here, someone to pray with you, someone that can answer questions that you have. Before we do that, I want you to take this moment and ask God the Holy Spirit, okay, what do I need? You have spoken. How is it now, Lord, that things need to change in my life? In my own heart, my thinking, what in my life now needs to change? What do I need to do with what you have said to me as the Bible has been preached? Now, as God has made that clear, now is the time for you to act. Now is the time for you to act. And so, Lord God, even as in a moment we give people that chance to respond, the response of our heart is so much more significant for each individual that you've brought to share our time together today. We believe that you as the living God is dealing with individuals. Now, Lord, help us to go from here and in faith and in trust experience your overcoming blessing and power. Now I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.